So welcome to the presentation entitled A Nurse-Managed Healthcare Home Model of Integrated Care, the UIC College of Nursing and Thresholds Partnership. It's my pleasure to introduce our presenters, Emily Brigel and Sheila O'Neill. Ms. Brigel is Director of Integrated Healthcare at the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Nursing's Institute for Healthcare Innovation. She received her MS in Public Health Nursing from the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Nursing. With more than 20 years' experience in home health, public health, and outpatient health services administration, her interests in women's health and midwifery and integrated primary and mental health care services for patients with serious mental illnesses currently drive her career. Ms. O'Neill is the Vice President of Clinical Practices at Thresholds, a psychiatric rehab agency in Illinois. She received her LCSW from the Jane Addams School of Social Work at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And she's a recent graduate of the Johnson & Johnson Healthcare Executive Program at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. She manages the Nurse Care Coordination Program at Thresholds and works on expanding and strengthening Thresholds partnerships with federally qualified health centers to assure that the members of Thresholds receive services that are high quality and integrated. Please join me in welcoming our presenters.
Morning.
Good morning.
Before I start, I just want to congratulate Trilogy on the great work. It's so reassuring to hear that you're struggling with the same things that we are, and that hopefully we all will be able to resolve some of these like big barriers and issues that we're facing these days. So today, what Sheila and I are going to talk to you about is our partnership, and which is an academic and community partnership model of primary and mental health care service integration. We're going to provide some data and share with you some utilization and outcome data. Not too much, because I know Judith is going to be sharing more later on in the program. And then spend some time talking about current challenges and issues in the healthcare environment and some of the strategies that we're using to address those. So integrated healthcare is the name of our organization, and we treat individuals with serious mental illness. We're in our 16th year. We opened in 1998. We are an academic nurse-managed center, and that means that we are based in the UIC College of Nursing. We're nurse-managed. We're completely nurse practitioner-run, family nurse practitioners, psychiatric nurse practitioners, and our newest clinic is now incorporating midwives. And in terms of history, everybody's always interested in how we got started, and I have to think about what Alice Geister said about being the lone nurse with the students at the project. This integrated healthcare was the germ of idea of Nancy Burke, who was a psychiatric nurse practitioner faculty at the UIC College of Nursing, and for several years she was bringing pre-licensure students to Thresholds and doing what nursing students do, teaching about health disorders, taking blood pressures, checking glucose levels. And Nancy knew that Thresholds had recently, in the last year, developed a goal for each Thresholds member to have an annual physical exam. And she also identified that this was not happening, that members were not able to access primary care. And identifying that gap, took that issue back to the department chair and said, I think instead of pre-licensure students, we should bring family nurse practitioner students to Thresholds. If we bring primary care to Thresholds, then members will access primary care. And that was the birth of integrated healthcare. the idea was taken back to Thresholds, which of course they embraced it, and it's been a labor of love over the years between our two organizations. Thresholds donated equipment, the College of Nursing did the same, there were joint applications for funding. Chicago Trust, I think, was one of the early funders. We also had nursing funding from the Health Service Resource Administration, HRSA, which is part of Health and Human Services, and we got an initial nursing grant that supported us. And then after that, there was a pretty sizable Robert Wood Johnson grant. And during that time, we realized that, you know, we really needed to look at sustainability. Academic nurse-run clinics were a movement at a period of time about 25 years ago, and many did have sustainability issues. They were affiliated with colleges of nursing and typically addressed vulnerable populations and trying to, you know, promote access to care and reduce health disparities, and that's certainly was the mission of our organization. And so during that time of when Robert Wood Johnson grant was coming to a close, we started to explore becoming an FQHC. And in 2007, with Threshold support, we became part of Miles Square Health Center, which is the UIC federally qualified health center. So all of our three clinics are FQHCs and working together with Thresholds. There are some key components to our model which have sustained us over the years, and the most important thing is that we have a similar mission and values, and you know, overall, our commitment is to the member and ensuring that the member get the services that they need. And that really has sustained us really over time. When we think about it, you know, we've had, on the nursing side, we've had changes in leadership, and so has Thresholds, but we have survived through all those changes and continue to do what we do. Our primary clinics are embedded at Threshold sites, two of the three of ours. The third one, our newest clinic, is freestanding and not affiliated with Thresholds, but Thresholds group homes and services surround the clinic. We are very patient-centered and holistic, of course, in our care delivery. And there's a lot of open collaboration, ongoing dialogue at all levels of our organization, certainly at the direct care level, with collaboration and coordination by Threshold staff, with our clinic staff, the nurse practitioners and psychiatrists on both sides, and also involving some of the larger UIC system and specialty services. Of course, we're evidence-based in our interventions, part of an academic institution. Our students keep us true and watching the evidence. And we're all data-driven with a focus on ongoing performance improvement. And Sheila's going to talk about some of the shared projects, performance improvement projects that are taking place. This is our first clinic, Threshold South Integrated Healthcare. It's at 47th and Halsted. Again, it was our first clinic that opened in 1998. It was a two exam room clinic. And initially, that primary care was the mental health services was completely by Thresholds. And in 2012, we added a psychiatric clinic that is run by psychiatric APNs and a 20% psychiatrist that actually was the former medical director at Thresholds. When we started the psychiatric services, they were on the second floor, and our primary care clinic was on the first floor. So they were co-located but not quite integrated. And this year, in April, we finished an expansion that actually brought the services together into one expanded clinic, which has certainly been really helpful. So there's a lot of running back and forth between the psychiatric and primary care nurse practitioners. And we're very lucky at this site to have a truly integrated practitioner in that she is both a family nurse and a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So she can kind of deliver all of those services together. This is our North Clinic. It's one door north of the Thresholds Young Adult Program. And this is now our smallest clinic, and we're busting at the seams, and we're looking at new space so that we can expand. And there's been, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, we're seeing a big demand in the community at this clinic, and lots of folks in the community who are not affiliated with mental health agencies who are in need of services. And this is our newest clinic that still has a makeshift sign over it. This clinic is in Humble Park, just past Humble Park. Actually, it opened in 2014. And with our integrated primary and mental health services, we've also added a new population that we're focused on, and those are individuals with physical disabilities. And this came as a result, actually, a request from Access Living as a result of a women's clinic closing at the Rehab Institute of Chicago. So with a grant from HRSA, we are now going to be focused on care, particularly of women with physical disabilities. And this will be a site for the Community Care Alliance of Illinois, which is one of the Medicaid innovations projects working with the disabled. Just a quick look at the growth we've experienced over time. This goes through FY13 and really speaks to the addition of psychiatric services at our clinic. So you can see that light blue-green color is primary care, and the darker color is the mental health services that we're providing. And so we had a real pretty much dramatic increase in patients from FY12 to FY13, actually between FY11 and FY13, which takes us through June of 2013. In this past year, the numbers of our patients stayed the same, and we didn't experience any growth, and there's lots of reasons for that. So currently we have about 1,500 patients. We do 9,000 visits a year. And overall, we average about 3.7 visits per patient, which is pretty consistent with an FQHC. We like to pull out our South Clinic and look more closely at that because we do provide both primary care and psychiatric services there. And we know that the population we serve at that site is a little bit older and, of course, has, you know, many, many chronic diseases. So the visits per patient is a little bit higher, and then the psychiatric visits per patient are about 7, and that program does a lot of medication administration and management. We struggle, as we have for years, with no-show rates for primary care, and for 2 years in a row, they were about 27%. Last year, they dropped, but that's kind of also incorporates our psychiatric program now, which has a much lower no-show rate. So I think both the members and Threshold staff do a great job of getting folks in for their psychiatry appointments, but we're still struggling on the primary care side. And Sheila's going to talk some more about that in the project. We've gotten the works to work on our no-shows. We've had lots of awards over the years. I'm not going to bore you and go through all of these. A couple of things I want to point out, though, the most recent. In 2011, Illinois Health Connect, which is a Medicaid division, awarded us an Excellence in Diabetes Management Award because of our outcomes. And a really important American Academy of Nursing EdgeRunner designation. We achieved that in 2012. And Edge Runners are designated organizations that are able to achieve and sustain good financial and clinical outcomes. So we're very proud of the work we've done over the years. So here's just, a snapshot of some outcomes, and you'll hear some more later. For patient satisfaction, this is actually the last quarter satisfaction from surveys that we receive from our patients. And this has been a struggle right along, trying to get our patients to fill out surveys. These are paper surveys. It's a survey that comes from the Consortium of Nurse Managed Clinics, and they use a reliable and valid tool for this that we have actually divided into four surveys that we randomly give over the course of a month. And so it is done in clinic, and we tally the results. And because we're part of UIC, we are now going to be participating in Press Ganey. I don't know if folks out there are familiar with Press Ganey. This is a pretty common survey that's used by a lot of hospital systems. If you've been to a hospital, you're going to get this very lengthy survey in the mail asking you to rate the service you provided. So we have some concerns about the response rate we're going to get from that, because the literacy level is still higher than most of our patients would be able to manage. And filling out something and mailing it back is just not something we expect to happen. So we're going to continue to do this survey in addition to getting rolled up in the Press Ganey satisfaction surveys. Diabetes is something, of course, that we manage very closely. And we use the Healthy People 2020 benchmarks because they're benchmarks that HRSA uses, and we're part of an FQHC, so that makes sense. So the benchmark for A1Cs, we want to see that it's less than 7. And for Healthy People 2020, they want to see that more than 58.9% of diabetics have A1Cs less than 7. And between 63 and 65% of our diabetic patients exceed that benchmark. And that has really held up over time. So we're really happy about that. And on the other side, we like to look at those people that are very out of control. And I guess that, and again, that benchmark for that is that we would want to see people with an A1C greater than 9 or less than 16.1% of the total diabetics. And we've been between 12 and 14%. So again, we've exceeded the benchmark in that area as well. In terms of hypertension, on the last visit, we look at our last patient visit, between 81 and 85% of our patients with hypertension, their blood pressure was less than 140 over 90. So again, this exceeds the Healthy People standard, which is that it should be greater than 61%. And then, of course, we struggle with obesity. For our patients also, over 50% of our patients have a diagnosis of obesity. And for many years, our most frequently occurring diagnoses were hypertension, diabetes, and obesity in that order. And the year before last, obesity became our primary diagnosis. So, of course, it's something that we continue to struggle with. There is no real target for weight loss. I think we're all struggling with trying to find a benchmark for that, and certainly Healthy People 2020 doesn't have one. So we look at those in our patient population that have lost 3% or more of their body weight in 12 months, and 25% of our patients met that goal. And we're, again, looking at other ways to measure this over time. I guess it's Sheila's turn.
Hi, everybody. I, too, am very appreciative of being here, and it was so great to hear Trilogy speak, because we have a lot of things that we can learn from each other. Anyway, I think a lot of people, or some of you may know about thresholds. So we started in 1959, And we started working with people with the highest needs, highest mental health needs. Back then, I don't really thought we talked about medical needs. I'm sure they were right there. Over the years, we have grown a lot. And one of the big things we have done in the last 10 or 15 years is implement a lot of strength-based, recovery-based, evidence-based practices. So you things that you guys do, probably not all of them, but a lot, I'm sure we share similar, some of the things we're doing together. I think one of the reasons we are so large is in the 70s and 80s, a lot of the communities, suburbs, communities around Chicago, they didn't really want to work with people with serious mental illness. They wanted to do therapy. They wanted people to come to them. They weren't real interested in running any sort of residential program. So Thresholds really said yes. You know, when they wanted us to go to Oak Park, for example, we said yes. And I just think over little parts of the communities, that's kind of how we grew to where we are today. Whoops. Okay, there's, okay, whoops. And somewhere's the big screen. Oh, whoop, I went backwards. Okay, and then, oh, there we go. Alrighty. So again, we were established in 1959. Jerry Denson, I don't know if people here knew of Jerry Denson, but he was extremely charismatic, did whatever he thought was right. And when somebody said, or Emily said that people needed a physical a year, probably about 15 years ago, Jerry said, we're going to have every single person get a physical, and we'll figure out how to do it. It was hard. I don't know if we figured it out, but he reminded us of that every day. We have a very comprehensive approach. We've really have changed and evolved over the last decade. We used to have a lot of center-based programs, a lot of groups. We always hired people in recovery. We really didn't call people in recovery. They were just staff. We always had on our job postings that people in recovery are encouraged to apply for all levels. And then two or three years ago, Department of Mental Health here in Illinois demanded that you have people in recovery, which was great. But so now on each team, there's a designated person. We have about five peer drop-in centers, too, all consumer-run. We serve about 6,700 people annually. Many of those people we do not see regularly. Some we may touch. We have a CTA, a mobile assessment unit. We have a lot of street outreach. So a lot of those folks we're trying to engage. It's probably more about 3,000-4,000 that are actively engaged with us. Our budget is $65 million. And we have over, we hit just 1,100 staff. When I started in 1983, we had about 300 staff. So it's we haven't grown every year, but we've definitely grown lately a lot and some other years. Right now, we have most of our services are done by what we call outreach workers. They're, you know, we don't call them social workers. We don't call them case managers. They're out in the community. And the Department of Mental Health, too, they require that services, the majority of services are required, are delivered in the community. So 70% are. So our staff have cars, they have to get a certain amount of insurance, and they go out throughout wherever the people are and serve them, give them rides to the clinics, other places. We also have managed 1,500 units of housing, and a lot of them are apartments. You know, they're not apartment buildings, so we do have some. This is just kind of a snapshot of thresholds, and it's probably similar to programs that people work with. Of course, 100% have a psychiatric disability. Coming in, 90% are unemployed. 50% have active substance use. I thought it was a little higher, 49%. I thought it was higher, have a justice, some justice involvement. And 87% have a high school education. And this is just kind of a snapshot of what we do. We have about 50 teams at threshold. So they're either assertive community treatment teams, it's step-down community support team, step-down from that community support individual, Illinois Department of Mental Health terms. And we've been growing a lot with the Affordable Care Act, and mostly because of the consent decrees that Trilogy spoke a little bit about earlier, Williams and Colbert. Williams were people with mental illness, were discharged from state institutes, usually institutions, and put into IMD, Institute for Mental Disease, very, very large kind of warehouses for people with mental illness, nursing homes. And then the Colbert cases are nursing homes that have less than 49% of people with mental illness. So there were class action lawsuits for both of these cases that people did not have any options to go anywhere else, and they won. So in the last 3 years, Illinois has a big, big push of assessing everybody, asking them if they would like to leave. Thresholds is working with currently right now about 400 people, Williams and Colbert. So they're currently members, and man alive, do they have high medical needs. So that's something that's really, it's fun to go to work because they need help. So whoever said that, we're really excited about it because, man, we have a lot of work to do. We're growing our ACT teams. We kind of had less of them. Now we have more, a lot to do with the need for nurses. We have IPS, supported employment, somebody talked about earlier, HIV testing, supported education, integrated healthcare. We have... also, illness management recovery, where we train a lot of our staff to do IMR on an individual basis. We also have programs for veterans, programs for young mothers and their children, young adults. We recently started a young adult outreach team. We also have a program for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, and more we're getting into more of the commercial insurance teams that we're working with, some of these ICP teams. All right, so I am going to talk a little bit like Trilogy did. I'm going to talk about the success of our relationship and then our opportunities. So, of course, one of the big successes is the outcomes that Emily presented. You know, they're really, they're just really great. We're very proud of them. And that shared a vision, that shared culture that we have, to really, when we finally get somebody there, a lot of times people may not answer the door when we come to get them. It's just true, you know. But we really, really try, and they really try on their end, and together to help somebody get to an appointment. And the no-show rates are going down. I think another big thing, and it's just the reality, is to have a good relationship, we have to meet a lot. And there's really no way around that. People always say, oh, social workers have too many meetings. You know, you're always, but if you don't meet, if you don't get to know somebody, you don't work well together. And I just think that's something that has been proven. I don't know if it's evidence-based or not. But, you know, and I know not that we meet on the phone sometimes too, but I really think that has just kind of kept this long-term relationship together. We do have access to each other's electronic record systems. It's a pain. So they have Cerner, and we have SmartCare. Probably about once a week, I have to email one of Emily's staff and say I need new passwords for our newest nurse or psychiatrist or whoever to get in Cerner. Couple, 3 weeks later, she'll get back to me. Then there's problems with them trying to log on and something changed and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 2 or 3 months later, they get on. Thankfully, somebody already has on so they can go look at it. It's just a lot of work. And we also know that some people are not going to access to systems. They're just not. And that's, I think, another evidence-based practice. If things are too hard, they won't do it. We have to make it easy. So recently, we've been working to get the IHC notes, which are the psychiatry notes, where the psychiatrist that, what happened was threshold psychiatrist, because we lost about $500,000 a year in billing Medicaid, Medicare, just outpatient for our psychiatry. They were then hired by IHC and some of our other FQHCs. And they then get a rate that pays for their services. So we, the one step forward, two backwards thing was they then document it, not in our systems anymore, but their system. So what we're doing is downloading and uploading from Cerner into our system called SmartCare. It's really expensive, and about 2 weeks ago, there was an article in the New York Times on electronic records and the integration of them and how much it cost. I don't know if anybody saw that, but it's just, I mean, it is true. Everybody's working on it. They have the next best thing, but it's the good, I just felt good because it wasn't about psychiatry. It was about just regular medical, and I thought, ha-ha, you know. We're right with you. You're not further than we are. But anyway, that's not that it's good, but that part was good. You know, Emily spoke a little bit. We did a big remodeling of the Threshold South building, that building we had for many, many years. It was all thresholds. And it just shows how we've changed over the years, also going on a more of an outreach focus, where we can have outreach teams, maybe in storefronts or wherever they are, but we gave over mostly the first floor to IHC, and the second floor is more threshold staff. So it's really cool, and it's something like probably 20 years ago, we'd be like, no way, you know, why would we do that? So it's just a really kind of example of what we're doing to make it work. As I said, we do a lot of outreach. We pick people up a lot to bring them to their appointments. Some people we don't have to, but others we do, and even if we try to, it's not always successful. Resources from commitments from both partners. As Emily spoke earlier, there was some early grants. Right now, there's no grant money. So we really are dedicating staff at each of our organizations to do all this work. I mean, we have just IT people and people like me and others. There's just a lot of work. And we know it needs to be done. So another thing we're doing is we're working with Peggy Swarbrick, who is back there. And it was so great to meet Peggy. I've been talking on the phone for a couple of years now. And Pat Nemec, who works with Peggy. And they are doing a health literacy with our, they're teaching our staff health literacy and then to help members improve their health. So it's all kind of coming around full circle. And then one of the nurses from IHC is also part of this. So members are going to, or they're choosing a health goal if they want to participate. They're choosing a health goal. The staff at the same time is learning more about the health goals, what all these, you know, indicators are. So their health literacy is going up. Unfortunately, some staff also have some of these health problems, so they're experts at diabetes or whatever because they already have it. So that's something really cool. And the other thing we're also working on is a stop smoking focus that Mary and Tim are going to talk about in a little bit. Our challenges, I mean opportunities. So right now, anybody in Illinois, and I'm sure it's different everywhere because Illinois always, whatever, So right now, people on Medicaid and Medicaid and Medicare are being assigned to a health insurance plan. Basically, Medicaid HMO, Medicare, Medicaid HMO. And there's about 7 Medicaid-only ones. And then there's, I think, about 7 for the dual ones. And most of the time, people received in the mail who they got. So the goal was they were supposed to choose, and that, I don't know. I don't really know what the statistics are, but most they just were told. And then we have to figure out, are they with Threshold? Well, Threshold's got in all of them, but are they with IHC? Are they with, we're working with some other health FQHCs, are they with them? So it's really difficult because at the same time, we're still in a fee-for-service environment. You know, all the staff have to work fee-for-service while this is all changing. So we actually do have a couple treatment teams that are working only with, like, Illini Care and that, doing some really cool stuff that we're actually getting paid for. But the majority of what we're doing is still fee-for-service in this changing environment. A lot for the staff to understand and a lot for the members to understand. So we've had people change their insurance. If they are going to IHC, very good satisfaction rate, they want to stay there. So our staff are helping them figure out how to stay there and change their insurance. A lot of anxiety around that. What Trilogy said, too, is the cost of this data sharing is just a lot. It's a lot of staff time, which is money, and money, too. And then the no-show rate inherent to our population. So I don't really know. Does anybody know what the regular no-show rate is for FQHCs?
It's about 25%.
Okay. So what we're really trying to do is we're trying to maximize the show rate, right? So we want to get people to their appointment. And in fact, we have 1,511 or whatever people. We want that to grow a lot more. So we really want to get people to their appointments, increase the show rate, and then we want to just increase, to make sure that everybody at Thresholds, unless they refuse, and some do, but we'll keep trying to get them to a medical provider. Doesn't have to be IHC. It doesn't have to be others. If they have one they like, that's great. What we want to do is we want to communicate with them. And I was working on another big study, and the reality is a lot of docs out there don't either have the time or the gumption or whatever to communicate. So if we can't communicate about somebody with, you know, triple diagnoses and, you know, all sorts of medications, it really makes us talk with people and really try to convince them to switch to more of an integrated provider where there's communication back and forth. I think another challenge is the workforce. So like I said before, we're training our staff more in health literacy. The other thing that's really interesting, a lot of these HMOs, MCOs, they are recruiting staff. So I'm getting postcards, and we're having some staff leave, and I guess in a way it's kind of cool that they're hiring people to focus on mental health, right? They're paying them $20,000 more, you know, $25,000. It's not like the FI, you know, it's a car, you know, or whatever. So that's really scary to us. So we don't know, you know, with more advocacy, if we need to really advocate that what we do, you know, boots on the ground, the hard work that's going on needs to be, we need to be paid more. So that's just something that everybody, you know, I'm sure knows about, but it's really interesting how many people are getting these calls or postcards or whatever, and we have some people have left. You know, if you have a family in that, you really can't blame them. And then the last thing I just wanted to talk about, two things, is we are getting Medicaid data for the first time, which really was hard to get. And it also shows you how the insurance companies, they've had this data all along, right? And the hospitals have had this data all along, and we've had nothing. So we had, we know that our members go to the emergency room a lot. We knew they did. They go even more than we thought. So we are looking at that and trying to figure out how to respond and how to just raise awareness about that. We're also digging in more about hospitalizations. We always kind of focused on hospitalizations. We didn't focus much on emergency room, but we'll do that too. So that will be really interesting. We'll work with IHC and share that data on our shared members. And then the last thing just about the wellness culture, which I love that you guys brought that up, because, man, it is a big thing. We, I asked if our for a lunch if we could not have cookies and fruit cups, and it was recommended by a couple people to start doing this, and a lot of people were totally fine with it and liked it, but it kind of took me by surprise. And really, the people ordering it had the, you know, it's just really interesting. And we're also trying to do the wellness. We also have a staff wellness focus. So we're starting to, you know, if we have a Breast Awareness Month posters up, it should be for all women, you know, and there's something that went out just to the threshold staff about it. The smoking focus should be for everybody. So that's hopefully the way we're going, and we'll go anymore.
One more slide.
Oh, the cool one.